Chapter 11. The paste eaters had used up a lot of time finding Ghost, so it was a good thing Nori had paid attention in science class. She knew that 4 pounds on the moon would be at least 24 pounds on Earth. There was a big hanging scale in the science lab, so they ran there from the library. They weighed some beakers, and Elliot's boots, and the biggest textbook they could find. Sigh, everything was too light. While they were working, Elliot told them all about the flare lab at Sage Academy. He said it had tall tables like a science lab, but high ceilings like an airplane hangar or something. He talked about hex gloves and special equipment. And he was very excited to study with Sage's amazing flare teacher, Dr. Vogel. Ugh, Nori did not want to hear about Dr. Vogel. Didn't Elliot remember that he was more of a freezer than a flare? That he was a UDM kid? Apparently not, since now he was all flare this and flare that. And Pepper kept listening, asking Elliot questions like she was happy for Elliot to go away to boarding school. Nori plopped a microscope on the scale. Nope, it only weighed 6 pounds. She plopped a beaker on the scale. 1 pound. My brick pack! Andres cried, just as Elliot was telling Pepper about the special student kitchen Sage had for Flair studying cooking techniques. It holds 6 bricks, said Andres, and those are about 4.5 pounds each, so it's 27 pounds. Perfect, Nori cried. Done, she glanced at the list. Next thing is a lemon. Let's go to the cafeteria. A lemon? Elliot asked as they all followed Nori down the hall. I thought we needed an invisible signature. We do, she explained. We can use lemon juice for invisible ink. Oh, yeah, Pepper said. We sign a name with lemon juice on paper. Then, when we show it to Coach, Elliot will flare just a little bit under the paper and the heat will make the lemon juice turn brown. It works. I guess we can do that, Elliot said. Sounds fun. Great, said Nori, glad he was focused on something besides Dr. Vogel and the flare kitchen. But we have to hurry. Only 25 minutes left. There was no fresh fruit in the cafeteria. None. Just saltines in little packets, ketchup in little packets, and salt in little packets. Do you remember how Sage has that salad bar with piles of strawberries and pineapple? Elliot said. I mean, think how much fruit you would eat if it was always strawberries and pineapples instead of apples and more apples like we get here. A lump formed in Nori's throat. There he was, going on about Sage again. Didn't he see that it hurt her feelings when he talked like that? Pepper grabbed Nori's arm. I have an idea, she cried. Carrot! We don't have carrots in this cafeteria, Nori said. Just packets. No, Carrot the bunny. She has a stash of fruit and veggies in Ms. Starr's desk. Remember how she was eating broccoli before? Maybe she has a lemon. And off they ran. Carrot did have a lemon, but she was not about to part with it. You know, she said as the paste eaters clustered around her, I was a gigantic help to the other UDM team. That's cool, said Pepper. And we're so excited you're giving us your lemon. Not so fast. Not so fast? Well, said Carrot, do you know what the other team did to say thank you?
Did they say thank you? Elliot deadpanned.
Yes, but they also changed their team name to Friends of Carrot. The bunny preened, stroking her whiskers. What will you change your name to if I give you my lemon?
Nori loved the name Paste Eaters. It showed their togetherness and how they all liked the same music.
Carrot tilted her head. I see you're hesitating, she said. But you and the other UDM team, plus various fuzzies I know from around school, people have been coming in here all night wanting my help. Carrot, do you have any heels of lettuce? Carrot, do you have any ghosts? Carrot, can we carry you around so we have a lucky rabbit's foot?
Yes, but, Pepper started.
I have to look out for my own interests, Carrot said. So pay the price or I keep my lemon.
Pepper looked at her team.
I think we should take this deal.
Fine, Andres said. Instead of the paste eaters, we can be the carrot eaters.
Carrot gave him a look.
Ha ha, and no.
Nori decided they should change their team name. They needed that lemon.
How about Carrot's team? Or Carrot's connections? Said Pepper.
The bunny looked doubtful.
Carrot's kids?
Tried Nori.
Carrot is cool? Said Elliot. Change your name to Carrot's number one fans, Carrot said. Then you can have the lemon.
Ugh, Nori did not like that name. But okay, whatever.
We have less than 22 minutes left, she told her teammates.
22 minutes to get the last items, to stay upbeat, to show Elliot how special Dunwoodle was, to make him remember how important friendship was so he'd forget about pineapples and Dr. Vogel, to win that secret room and win back Elliot at the same time.
So let's do it, Nori added. We are now officially Carrot's fans.
Carrot's number one fans, Carrot corrected.
Yes, fine, Carrot's number one fans, Nori cried.
She scratched out paste eaters on the top of the page and wrote the new name.
Can we have the lemon now?
Why, yes, you may, said Carrot. Here you go.
She tossed Nori a small, slightly bruised lemon. It was a sad lemon, but it would do. Nori peeled the lemon. Then she squeezed it and used a paintbrush to sign her name on a piece of blank paper. Eleanor Boxwood Horace. Invisible now, but not forever. Done.
Bye, Carrot, said Elliot, lingering at the door of the UDM classroom.
You know, I'll miss you when I go to Sage Academy.
Oh, said Carrot. I hear they have a skunk garden.
They do, said Elliot, giving a thumbs up. And a greenhouse for growing vegetables, too.
Maybe I can come visit you and see the tomato plants, said Carrot wistfully. Dunwoodle's winter tomatoes are really bland. They're hardly tomatoes at all.
Elliot, snapped Nori, do you want to win or do you want to stand around discussing the tomatoes of Sage Academy?
Sorry, said Elliot. It's my last chance to talk to Carrot. I thought she'd be interested.
I am, said Carrot.
Nori dug her fingernails into her palms.
Can we please just go? She said. We have to find something 40 years old.
Run, Carrot's number one fans, run, called out Carrot as she waved her little paw goodbye.
Something 40 years old. Andres had an idea, so Nori's team zoomed down the hall, up the stairs, down another hall, around a corner, past the art room, and around another corner, to a hall lined with pictures. There were framed photographs on the wall. Each one showed eighth graders in graduation robes.
We need one from 40 years ago, Andres said from the ceiling.
Nori counted backward through the photos. 20 years ago, 25, 30... 35,
40. There we are.
Fantastic, said Andres. The picture is 40 years old.
Nori studied the students in the photo. Pepper leaned in to look, too.
Their hairdos were funny back then, said Pepper. So old-fashioned.
We'll be up on the wall one day, too, Nori said.
Pepper nodded.
I can't imagine being an eighth grader, though.
Nori couldn't quite imagine it either. But she could imagine how proud she'd feel graduating from Dunwoodle. As Pepper lifted the photo off its nail, Nori turned to Elliot meaningfully.
We'll be the first ever graduating upside-down magic class, she said.
Elliot nodded.
Miss Star will be so proud, continued Nori. Don't you want to be on the wall with us?
I mean, sure, but...
He shrugged uncomfortably.
It will be very special, said Nori. Just like Dunwoodle is very special. Think about it, Kay?
Think about what?
How special we are, Nori told him. 'Cause all night you've been like Sage Academy this and Sage Academy that and, ooh, vegetable garden. When you don't even care about vegetables. And, oh, what a great flare lab. Without even thinking about how there won't be any freezer studies there.
because Sage doesn't have upside-down magic classes, period. Extra skunks in a garden don't make a school awesome. Extra books don't make a school awesome. Nori. People make a school awesome, Nori interrupted. Other kids with upside-down magic make a school awesome, especially if you yourself have upside-down magic, which you do. Do you remember when you and I tried to do the box of normal?
Elliot blinked. Of course I do.
Well, guess what? Sage Academy is one enormous box of normal. Normal is what they do there.
Nori, come on, Elliot said. Sage has a lot to offer me. Don't you want me to at least have the chance to see what that could be?
Nori lifted her chin. Dunwoodle is public. It's free for everyone. And it's where we do UDM. Here is where we're allowed to be our true selves. And Dunwoodle, not Sage, is where your best friends are.
You're not being fair, snapped Elliot. Pepper touched Nori's arm.
Nori, she said softly. Both schools are great in different ways. Elliot is excited for Sage. We shouldn't spoil it for him.
Nori jerked away. Why was Pepper taking Elliot's side?
She felt her skin prick.
Uh-oh.
Blood rushed to face and fingers and toes, and her body began to transform. She grew whiskers, whoosh, and suckers,
sloop, sloop,
and paws,
pathud.
Now she was Squippy Nori, puppy in the front and squid at the back. Her tentacles rippled and made sucking sounds on the floor.
Zamboozle, said Andres. Oh my gosh,
said Elliot. He sounded dismayed but also exasperated.
I didn't mean to make her flux, I swear.
Can I pick you up? Pepper asked, bending over. I'm pausing my magic, okay? Squippy Nori nodded. Pepper picked her up, and Squippy Nori hid her face in Pepper's neck. She couldn't look at Elliot. She was too mad and embarrassed and squiggly.
Shh, Nori, said Pepper softly. You've got to calm down, okay? You've got to calm down and flux back because we have only one item left on the list and only 10 minutes to find it.
Nori felt out of sorts, even after she fluxed back into her human self. In her Squippy form, she'd licked Pepper's neck. She'd flailed her tentacles about, and one of them had landed in Elliot's hair. She'd been out of control. No one was making a big deal about it, but still she felt humiliated, especially when it came to Elliot. A tentacle in his hair. And he'd said she wasn't being fair. Well, he wasn't being fair either, so there. She made a show of consulting the list as she walked with Pepper and Elliot down the hall. Andres flew above them. We need a member of a royal family, Nori said in a tight, formal voice. Royal carriage, royal scepter, royal corgis, said Elliot, brainstorming.
Think prince or princess, said Pepper. Member of a royal family.
Royal icing? Deadpanned Elliot. Royal blue?
King or queen, said Pepper. Prince, princess.
How about something that ends in king, said Andres. Like, I don't know, joking, puking, biking?
No one's going to puke, said Pepper dryly. Besides, I don't think that would count.
Ah, Nori had it. She almost didn't want to have it because she wanted to brood silently.
The chess set in Ms. Starr's room, she announced through a clenched jaw. It has a king and a queen.
They ran back to Ms. Starr's classroom and Nori grabbed the chess set's queen.
We have all 10 items, Elliot said, grinning and holding up his hand.
Nori slapped his palm, but the high five felt stiff. What did it matter if they had all 10 things if she and Elliot weren't behaving like best friends on the one night they had together? Did that mean that they weren't best friends after all? And if they weren't best friends, what did anything matter?